Dragons at Crumbling Castle. In the days of King Arthur, there were no newspapers, only town criers, who went around shouting the news at the tops of their voices. King Arthur was sitting up in bed one Sunday, eating an egg, when the Sunday town crier trooped in. Naturally, there were several of them. A man to draw the pictures, a jester for the jokes, and a small man in tights and football boots who was called the sports page. "Dragons invade Crumbling Castle!" shouted the news crier. This was the headline. And then he said in a softer voice, "For full details, here page 9. King Arthur dropped his spoon in amazement. Dragons? All the knights were out on quests, except for Sir Lancelot, and he had gone to France for his holidays. The ninth page came panting up, coughed, and said, "Thousands flee for their lives as family of green dragons burn and rampage around Crumbling Castle." "What is King Arthur doing about this?" demanded the editorial crier pompously. "What do we pay our taxes for? The people of Camelot demand action."
"Throw them out and give them 4 pence each," said the king to the butler. "Then call out the guard."
Footnote. In the days of King Arthur, this was a lot more money than it seems today. It would buy, at least a cup of mead and a hunk of goat's meat. End of footnote. Later that day, he went out to the courtyard.
"Now then, men," he said, "I want a volunteer."
Then he adjusted his spectacles. The only other person in the courtyard was a small boy in a suit of mail much too big for him.
"Ralph reporting, sire,"
the lad said, and saluted.
"Where's everyone else?"
"Tom, John, Ron, Fred, Bill and Jack are away sick," said Ralph, counting on his fingers. "Then William, Bert, Joe and Albert are on holiday. James is visiting his granny. Rupert has gone hunting. And Eric..."
"Well then," said the king. "Ralph, how would you like to visit Crumbling Castle? Nice scenery, excellent food, only a few dragons to kill. Take my spare suit of armour. It's a bit roomy, but quite thick."
So Ralph got on his donkey and trotted over the drawbridge, whistling, and disappeared over the hills. When he was out of sight, he took off the armour and hid it behind a hedge, because it squeaked and was too hot, and put on his ordinary clothes. High on a wooded hill sat a mounted figure in coal black armour. He watched the young boy pass by, then galloped down after him on his big black horse.
"Halt in the name of the Friday Knight,"
he cried in a deep voice, raising his black sword. Ralph looked round.
"Excuse me, sir," he said. "Is this the right road to Crumbling Castle?"
"Well, yes, actually it is," said the knight, looking rather embarrassed.
And then he remembered that he was really a big bad knight and continued in a hollow voice,
"But you'll have to fight me first."
Ralph looked up in amazement as the black knight got off his horse and charged at him, waving his sword.
"Yield!"
the knight yelled. Then he got his foot stuck in a rabbit hole and tripped over in a great clatter, like an explosion in a tin factory. Bits of armour flew everywhere. There was silence for a moment, and then the helmet unscrewed itself, and Ralph saw that the Friday Knight himself was a very small man indeed. Or, at least, he had a very small head.
"Sorry," said the knight. "Can I try again?"
"Certainly not," said Ralph, and unsheathed his rusty sword.
"I've won! You've fallen over first!"
Footnote. That's how it went in those days. The first knight to fall over lost the fight. I bet you all knew that. End of footnote.
"It's not even Friday, so I shall call you Fortnight, because I've fought you tonight. You're my prisoner."
There was a great deal of clanking inside the armour, and then Fortnight climbed out through a trapdoor in the back. His ferocious black armour was 3 times as big as he was, So Ralph continued his journey to Crumbling Castle on his donkey, followed by Fortnight, the Friday Knight, on his great black charger. After a while, they became quite friendly, because Fortnight knew lots of jokes and could sing quite well. He'd belonged to a circus before he became a knight. Next day, they found a wizard sitting on a milestone reading a book. He had the normal wizard's uniform, long white beard, pointed hat, a sort of nightdress covered in signs and spells, and long floppy boots, which he had taken off, revealing red socks. Footnote. No self-respecting wizard would be seen in public without a pointy hat, but it could make going through low doorways a bit tricky, so they often developed bad knees in later life due to all that crouching down. End of footnote.